said talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You stupid bitch, you filthy!
Welcome back to Flyover State of Fear. I got the main man, Brian, here, and me, Joe. How are you, Brian?
Oh, I'm pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm good. How's the stuff since Cape Fear recording?
Man, you know, my life is just a roller coaster. No, not really. I'm comfortable in my rut.
It's nice
and smooth. Love my routine.
Like a nice routine. Just hang out. Works pretty slow, so it's nice.
Absolutely. Love when work's slow. We love it. Yeah. I had that in the beginning of the year. We switched over to like a new computer thing at work, and it kind of like messed with the scheduling, and it made my days a little slow for a while. And so I got to like, take some like leave early or and stuff like that for a while. That's dried up now though.
Back to rephrase
normal schedule.
I like when I'm like busy, not swamped, so the slowness isn't actually like fully preferred, but it doesn't. I've been sick this week too, so it helped.
I gotcha.
Anyway,
we're glad to have you back. No one wants to hear us. No, thank God.
Oh, I was sounding like RFK yesterday. My family. But like we normally do on this show, when it's just us two. What are some horrors we've delved into? We were just talking before. I've delved into a few.
Yeah, I started to watch.
What did you watch? What was your
through no fault of my own, I fell asleep. It's not an indictment of the quality of the movie. It's just one of those things where it's just like it was a bad timing. I just was old and tired. It was called Viking Wolf. It's on Netflix. I'll probably try to revisit it. But it's hard with the constant deluge of content we get.
Well, definitely. I mean, I know you did this too. So Viking Wolf, never heard of it. I probably will never see it.
like I said, it was not a bad movie.
What year?
I was fighting against the current.
When's it from?
I can't remember. It's pretty recent.
It was recent. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we both did. I do know it's because it feels long ago, but it's not that long. We both did several different Leprechaun movies.
Yeah.
Just for I did two and Back to the Hood on St. Patrick's
all
Day.
Of them. I think we might have talked about this.
We did talk
episode.
About this okay. briefly
because I came to some hard realizations during that rewatch of that franchise. Rewatch, but really it was like a first time, but it was tough. But man, I love Warwick Davis. Yep, I have that same set.
That I threw my money away because I ordered it then when we were talking about it, and I said that's a good idea. I should own all of them.
Yeah.
No, I was $16 poorly spent.
No, it's still worth owning them, really.
No,
Warwick
I like
Davis
having them.
Deserves that money. He probably gets a 12-cent check every time somebody buys that DVD set, and he deserves it.
He's like Joe. You have the likes of like Troll 2 and things of that nature on your
shelf.
Right,
you're not too good to have the Leprechaun franchise on your shelf.
You have the Critters Complete Collection.
Puppet Masters.
I don't have the Puppet Masters. I actually only have the Critters because a flyover Halloween, and it's like the $5 like crammed in. But that didn't make it into the condensed version of the movies. So I'm not too good for it. But I did revisit a few. So I did see that new Late Night with the Devil. It's going to be probably when this is out, if you're listening, it's on Shudder. Check it out. It was one of the great theater experience, great movie, just super unique. I mean, David I can't pronounce his last name.
Deschamelian, I think.
Deschamelian. He's so fucking good. Everyone.
He also popped up recently. I don't know if you talked about, but he's in Last Voyage of the Demeter, and that's a great new horror movie that's been out.
That
you
one,
know,
check that.
It's probably streaming now somewhere. You can rent it, I'm sure.
Like Max or Paramount or something.
It's,
I just watched
it's good. It. Everybody should watch it. It's a blast.
Super fun. So I just highly recommend that. Ignore all the stupid online shit. Two nights ago, because I bought the, you know, when we just buy shit and it's on our shelves and we never get around to watch them.
I try not to shelve something until I've watched it. I'll leave it, I'll put it out by the TV or something.
You're better than me. This will sit, collect. I take it out of the plastic, though, because I don't like it sitting in the plastic.
I think everybody, like, has a collect. I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like everybody, like, sees a collector when they're a kid that kind of, like, it affects them if you're like a collector. And my friend had, his dad had an incredible VHS collection, but so many of them were still in the plastic, untouched. He'd unopened. It was wild.
There's probably a few floating around here in these stacks and like, but like, I mean, like all, they got these all One Tree Hills for Christmas. I will take them out of the wrapper when, you know, when I'm organizing, but yeah, I'm, slot, nope, no way. Anyway, yeah, that stuff sits with you if it just, they're like, ooh, I don't like it this way. No, so I got around to, I picked up a really nice steelbook of Christine.
Oh, okay.
Hadn't watched Christine. I used to run on cable all the time. I hadn't watched it probably since I was
In years.
Probably haven't seen it since middle school. Very much a middle schooler movie you know, concept.
It's simplistic, you know what I mean? It's just a very straightforward
idea. About, rewatch Christine. It's so well made. It's so well made, and like John Carpenter pulls everything I think he can out of such a dumb idea.
Sure, yeah.
That I enjoyed it for. It's like the look, the synths, some of the stuff.
Craft.
Yeah. Other than that, it's, you know, it's all right.
I consider it to be lower tier Carpenter.
Yeah, lower tier.
I mean,
it's not like
it's
Ghost
not,
of Mars.
It's not Ghost of Mars, right? Where it's like when you say lower tier Carpenter, you have to like pull it back a little bit. Like you forget the man had some wild swings.
Yeah, this is like Gun for Hire.
Yeah,
Carpenter. It's I know it has its fans. Like some people fucking love this movie. I'm like in the middle. Like I think it's worth that revisit.
It's like on the scale of Carpenter and Stephen King adaptations, it's kind of in the middle of both of them.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, fucking Stephen King adaptations. They're so far and few between.
We should do one of those.
Again? We just did one.
No.
Want to do the TV version of The Shining?
Oh, hell no. If we're going to do a TV movie, we're going to do The Stand.
I've heard... Or what's the one that it kind of went viral again? This red rose.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I remember when Red Rose the book came out, but I don't. Did they do a TV movie too?
It's let me look. I think it is. It was
maybe Rose Red.
Actually. Rose Red. That's what it is. Rose Red. TV movie.
People love when you Google the show.
Oh, everyone loves it. Yeah, and it Kimberly J. Brown, the girl from Halloween Town's in it, the little girl, and I don't know if she's the lead or not, but anyway, that thing went re-viral through, like, Twitter and TikTok, this, because I think it hit Hulu. People say that's a pretty good one. I mean, there's the made-for-TV Carrie movie. Maybe we should just do a run of made-for-TV Stephen King.
Tommyknockers. That's got Jimmy Smits in it.
I like Jimmy Smits. Anyway.
He doesn't. We all do.
Dexter season 3, underrated villain. Ooh. McGill.
Oh, so he pops up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's what's her name's dad.
Yeah. He's great in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Fucking pissing.
He's
contest.
Great at everything. He's Jimmy Smits.
He's Jimmy Smits. New Jersey's own.
New Jersey's own Jimmy Smits.
No, and then the other one I checked out, and I fell asleep through it, but I was on purpose. When I get sick, I can't focus on shit.
Yeah,
in a sense. So I like to watch
on and like then it like, gives you that like, background noise to let like, you calm down. Like
I like trash, whether it's like J-Lo's Monster-in-Law, you know, or like what I watched, Imaginary, that new one, and I was like, I fell asleep through some of
the
it.
The horror one, right?
Yeah, I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
bad. Not worth anyone's time.
Well, the gist of it was in the trailer, and the gist of it was, hey, you remember a bunch of stuff from other movies?
That's what it was. And it also does the thing, like you know how, very different movies, weirdly enough, but you tell this got made because of the success of Megan.
Of course.
But you know how Megan does a really nice tone of being serious, then enjoyable? Like, all kind of killer doll movies have,
yeah,
balance itself out to be, like, not so serious all the time, because it is, everyone is playing this movie straight and serious, and it sucks the air. And then I fell asleep.
It's, like, sinister level. Yeah. They're trying to, like, really, like, double down on the...
Like, I know it's not too interesting, but speaking of, like, falling asleep, which I didn't even log it in. I tried watching. I got those two James Cameron 4Ks.
Sure. The Abyss.
I got the Abyss and True Lies. I don't need Aliens. I have it in the pack. Like, I know they're to the collector community. They're losing. They look looks. The Abyss look great. I don't know what people's talking about. Whatever. Couldn't, like, the Abyss. Too good of a movie. Too technical. So, like, this is for another day.
Yeah, like, I can't. I can't give this the attention it deserves. I can't do it.
Although it really is just Alien in underwater.
A little bit.
Anyway, moving on. But no, I finally, like I said, I'm finally feeling back to being like, yeah, let's pepper more horror into this diet again, and not just do it for the pod.
That's right. Live this horror life.
Oh yeah, but you know how, you know what's going to come all crashing down, and you know what happens from every year. Baseball starts in two days, and then that's when I come home and I go, well, there's something on that's 4 hours of just background noise.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I got that to just put on and zone out, and it's going to be there.
Oh, you wanna watch a movie?
I can just check it out when I want. Like, what's that?
Sit there and go. Every year it happens. Yeah. All watching, playing, just stops until you go, team's not that good. You're like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't use this stuff.
Anyway, watch a movie and we'll see. Yeah.
it's the truth. But today we're talking about It Follows, 2015-ish. You look it up, it says 14, but the movie's released in 15, so we're called 15. 2015's It Follows, from David Robert Mitchell. And yeah, this was one we were kind of just both going back and forth, I think, of things we wanted to revisit.
Well, this is definitely one that I think now, this is kind of a modern classic, or, you know,
most horror fans
are pretty high on this one.
I'm not ready to call it modern classic.
Oh, you don't think so?
I think it was getting that label right of those years. It was like, oh.
Well, like I said, I was gonna say the hype when it came out was very high.
I think the hype immediately
and
called it a modern
it
classic.
Kind of, that was kind of like the birth of the, we're kind of like in the early stages of our elevated horror, right?
Yeah.
Same year The Witch comes out, Black Coat's Daughter, Devil's Candy, all come out 2015. So it's like, you know, we're kind of like starting to see that, right?
Yeah, I mean, not to be a fucking stickler, I think Hard Candy's like 9 years earlier. Yeah.
So the Devil's Candy.
No, you said Hard Candy.
No, I did not.
Okay, so say Hard Candy is like 2005.
I said Devil's Candy.
Okay. All right, sorry.
Play
but you're right. No, you're right. This is the start of elevated horror. This is when,
I mean, not that
sinister,
it's the first, but it's like starting to
No, this
theme,
is like
right?
Sinister's like, around. There's like people are like almost like, not to look at everything as lists, like we could update our new list and include things that feel matter. And I think It Follows hits that camp.
It's like held that status since then, you mean?
Yes, that's. I think it was hitting at that status, and I think better things have pegged it down. And I think this watch, which I like this movie, I want to say it before, has lessened my... how great this movie is from seeing it. This will be the third time I've watched it.
See, this is, I think this is really interesting. So the movie came out super hyped up, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed it, but I really thought it was like, it had some lulls. I was like, it's kind of slow in the middle. And I was like, and I feel like it's, we talked off camera, we were talking about Drive, and I feel like it's riding a synth score. It's a little more style than substance. It's got like an mm-hmm. okay idea. But on this rewatch, I think I appreciated it more. So maybe
this is like Barbet when we watched Barbarian, kind of where I was like, the second watch, knowing what's coming, I was a little more like, you know, I get it, I appreciate it. Fucking hysterical, because I have the Wikipedia left, but I haven't read it. Literally, one of the lines that just stood out to me. It has since achieved cult following, with many calling it a modern horror classic. You literally said, so I'm wrong in that.
I'm just saying, I feel like it's one of those movies that most horror fans,
they love it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Like, universally positive response from
most
people.
I like it. I'm not
I always felt like I was in the minority for not, like, getting on the hype train. Like I said, we can talk a little bit more about where I landed on it this time around.
I think that Sith score does some heavy lifting. There's such a 20... It's funny. So, like, some of the fun facts I pulled from are more so, like, it's a non-specific era. They made sure to make, like, the look and feel of it vague. The movie is also supposed to feel very dreamlike and not in and out of a reality. I don't know how well it achieves that, but that's what the director is going for.
I think it does a little bit with that, but I was just like, I thought that was just the vibe of the movie because she's so restless because she can't get, you know what I mean? I don't feel like the world's dreamlike, but I do feel like there's an element of like, kind of like slipping in and out of time the way you do when you're really tired.
I think the best example is that the scene of when they meet the fucking piece of shit who infects her at his house and the girl's walking.
Jeff, who is simultaneously the biggest piece of shit, but also maybe the most likable male character in the movie. I'm just saying there's not very much to like about the men in this movie.
But yeah, literally my first note was, I think it's the Sith score. I think it's the way it kind of looks a little bit. I was like, this is the year I graduated college. This is 24. I mean, it's, you know, this is 2014.
It definitely is very
the style of the movie.
Like, it's got that vibe that you're talking about, that post-Drive, like, synth score and long shots of people staring in the middle distance and stuff like that.
Speaking of we rarely ever talk about this stuff, though, but I'm looking at it now, is knowing the concept of the movie, though, and where it is, the poster of just the car lit up, it's an incredible poster, because it's like, you know what they're doing in that car. But if you didn't, I don't know, like, you know, what would, like, you show this to your mom. It's like, what do you think this is about?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the movie, I'm not even going to read the synopsis on this one. The movie, though, is we start off with this girl just, like, running out of her house. And, you know, she's all distraught. And I actually like
clearly that running from something.
She's running in a
suburban neighborhood. But nobody else can see what she's running from.
And I like that even there's like a woman like taking out her groceries, I think. And she's like, are you all right? Like, she takes a minute to care. And then it's like, she's like, I'm fine.
It's very clear that she's not fine, but.
Yeah, I thought she should have stayed maybe and watched her a little bit. And so like, all right, back to my groceries.
Yeah, she's like, well, she said she's fine, whatever.
And then the dad runs out. But anyway, this girl, she gets away. Next shot, she's on a beach shot. Probably even though it's in the first minute of the movie, most iconic shot of the movie.
Is it the same beach they go to later? It feels like it is.
Has to be.
It feels like it is.
I mean, the movie was only done for $1 million.
Where does it take place? Did they say?
Let's see. I think supposed to be vague too. I just always kind of thought like New England-y area.
I thought more like Michigan, like Detroit, and where you could drive how, the lake, like somewhere where you get to the like you could. Yeah, I don't know. Because there's some run, you know, because they do that thing. Because she doesn't say. She has that whole thing where she talks about how her parents wouldn't let her go past 8 Mile. So it is Detroit.
It is Detroit. My bad. It's Detroit.
It's Detroit.
And I think that, yeah, they highlight on that, like, the abandoned homes later. Like, the run of homes it could run through. This and Barbarian, just nice double feature. Actually, it is a very good double feature.
Don't Breathe is another one if you like to see abandoned homes in Detroit.
There's a run of horror in Detroit.
We didn't talk about. Well, I guess we haven't got to her yet.
Well, we're still talking about.
Yeah, I was gonna say the opening shot there at that beach. I like the phone call she makes to her dad and to her family. That's like a really good, like that kind of thing. Like, really, like adds to the tension, that like desperation. You know, in a moment when you don't know what's going on and the character is so scared like that is really good.
Yeah, we have no idea as the audience what to set up for. She's just terrible. Mm-hmm. And then it, you know, and it never leaks back to that incident. It's just it's a setting up instant because, you know, it's not like like in A Nightmare on Elm Street, right? You get the intro with Tina and then we actually go back to being.
And then
like,
Tina's part of the story.
You know,
this girl is just not.
Similar.
It's the cold open. She's just there.
Cold open. There's a cold open.
Tension will scare because then the movie's going to move into a more traditional, almost feels like a John Hughes-y kind of like.
Yeah,
opening.
It starts off
introduce
like
the friends, get ready for the day. You know,
it's like I'm gonna go to the day, and I the music's playing, and it's not too synthy at that point. And she sits down, and they go to there at the theater, and I actually love that scene though with the Jeff is like. We're just going to call him Jeff. You know, he's like, you see that girl in the yellow trench coat or yellow rain jacket or whatever?
They're playing like a little game where they like pick out people and talk about him. A little people watching game.
Yeah, it's fun before a show.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, no, all right, get the fuck out of here. They run out. First, that should have been a red flag. Oh, she's like, what? Was that your girlfriend or something? And he's like, no. It's like, all right, you should just be done with this man.
Yeah, like, that should have been a pretty big red flag. But also, he's like, yeah, feel good, we got to run out of here. But then they instantly just go and hang out somewhere else. It's like, well, what was the deal? Why couldn't we watch that movie?
Yeah, it's like, so you're getting uncomfortable in crowds. It's like, but if you just mentioned, like, a girl, or if, like, you know, your partner, like, oh, they're like, what? I don't believe you. You're fucking around.
Yeah.
So... It's that, and then we get a little cutaway to her with her friends, and like, so have you guys like fucked? And she's like, nah, not yet. Next scene is she's like, all right. They go. This girl goes to the scariest locations the whole movie. Her go-to move is let me go to the most desolate, creepy locations. But she goes. You know, they're in. This movie has a lot of water reference. She goes to, they're on the beach, and I was like, oh no, don't bang on the beach, that's sand everywhere,
yeah,
you don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, I always think that every time I see people start to make out on a beach, I was like, gross, stop, don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
also,
I always...
beaches always smell weird. Like, don't,
yeah, I always think, even though there's in movies specifically, I always think of how silly it is in, it's not a good Adam Sandler, but there's the Just Go With It Adam Sandler, and him and Brooklyn Decker... You know, supermodel have their night on the beach and sleep on the. I'm like, this is just no. You're like 2 40-year-olds,
right?
Like, come on. But yeah, in general, no beach. Just so, but they go to the car. They get it done.
Everything, and I like that this is all very consensual. Like, they show her thinking about it. Like I said, she doesn't sleep with him. But the first date, she goes home. She talks to her friends. She's, like, living her, you know what I mean? They're making
a good guy, at least in her
right,
eyes.
Right, they're making her, you know, like, this isn't, spur of the moment thing that happens. She's like, you know, and then, but then, so they have like their nice consensual love scene, and then it's weird because then they get into there, and I guess we should say trigger warning for sexual assault and kind of like STD and rape metaphor and everything in this movie. Because there's a little bit, because they do have this kind of like sexual assault vibe, but it happens after consensual sex, which is very strange.
Yeah, like, it's very unnerving too, because, you know, she's laying, Jay is the name of her lead, she's like laying in the back of the car, she's like flirting, of like, I didn't know, literally how you talk, pillow talk after. Sure. And then he just comes behind her and starts gagging her.
Chloroforms her or whatever,
And it's, you know, no music, quiet, it's the sounds of it, and that's, no matter where you put it, that's always disturbing.
And then you definitely don't ever want to wake up tied to a wheelchair.
No, she wakes up tied to a chair. And
we like, don't like that.
Because I know what the movie is, I'm like, all right, he didn't actually rape her.
Right. But it still, like I said, feels that way. Like,
oh, it feels that way. And it's,
I mean, it's still obviously an assault, and she's still obviously being victimized. But it's just so weird to like have all this kind of like, love. Very rapey vibe to the stuff that happens after consensual sex, you know? Like,
yeah, no, right after. But this is, there's one thing that happened where I've come to the conclusion. So when people talk about this movie, they're like, yeah, it's a metaphor for STDs, right? I've come to the conclusion that after this watch, there's one thing later. I think it's full blown, like, sexual assault. Nothing to do with really STDs. Because later in the movie, you know, spoiler, when she transfers it and she could then see with how they could see the other people being attacked, like other followees, we'll call them zombies, right.
Other victims,
walking around, that's when I was like, oh, that's clearly showing us as the view, or as like the metaphor of, oh, well, now I could see it everywhere. I could sense when this has happened to someone else. I know.
Well, I can see from the perspective of a person who's been through this also. Like, I myself a victim. Yeah. I've learned.
Why else?
Also, and I, the same thing, the STD metaphor is the thing everybody always went to, and it's because you pass it on through sex. But I think that's, like, yeah, that's a pretty surface-level reading. I was thinking about it this time, and I was, like, more broadly how, like, reckless decision-making can haunt you, or, like, sometimes something that you think is good, like a relationship with someone you think you really care about, can turn bad, and that can follow you for a long time. You know what I mean? So I was like, I just feel like that has more to do with...
It's bad decision making.
Yeah. And not even bad decisions, but like reckless, thoughtless decisions. Reckless, like, just better. Kind of like, you know...
Well, think of... It's the opposite of... Because the effects happen here. It's the opposite of Eyes Wide Shut. Because, you know, Tom Cruise is trying to make all these terrible decisions, but the universe won't let him.
Yeah, he's getting thwarted.
think of, like, and we'll go back to what, like, the rules tied up are, but later on, you know, Jeff says, he's like, I don't know, I don't even know the girl's name, I just had a night out, picked her up, and it's weird to say, it probably was a normal night for the guy partying in his college, and whatever, and then not, right? That's a reckless decision. Well,
he even tells her, he mentions her, like, when they're confronting him about it, he's like, it should be easy for you, and that's the thing, it probably was easy for the girl who gave it to him, because if a girl comes on strong, a pretty girl comes on strong to you, most guys are like, yes, please, thank you, well, of course, like...
I want to get to that later.
Yeah, we're jumping ahead, it's okay, we always do.
We always do, but the... You know, she wakes up tied to the chair, though, and he just info dumps the movie you're about to see. I pass this thing on to you. If you see people walking towards you that don't look, that kind of look essentially dead and otherworldly, I don't remember the exact wording he uses, just run away, get as far as you can. They can only travel on foot. And
never in an area with, like, without two exits. They're slow, but they're not stupid. And they, like, can problem solve and stuff. He, like,
gives her great information in the worst possible way.
Yeah, but, and again, I mean, I understand not, like, what he does, but, like, his mentality of like, she will not believe me if I try to just tell her this.
No, and, no, I got to make an impact because he literally, but so he tells her all
like,
this.
He has to like force her to listen, but like also, yeah, he does it in the worst possible way. I don't know how you could possibly do it, but this is not how you should have done it.
And he also just wants to, you know, I mean, his plans fall to begin with because he should do what the ending movie, the end of the movie did, but...
Well, we don't know if the girl at the beginning who got it was another girl he tried to pass it to and it didn't work, really.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, I never thought of that.
This could be like a desperation maneuver where he's like, okay, I didn't even tell the last girl, and it got her immediately because she didn't know what to look for, so I have to warn this girl. Mm. You know, they don't delve into that stuff, which is good. It's to the movie's benefit to not get into it. This movie very much has the Gremlins problem, where if you start to think about too much, it falls or unravels immediately.
There's never been a more premise like this that is just like on a house of cards. Just, but
so I was like, okay, it travels by foot. What if I went to England? Could it cross the ocean? Like, does it walk across the ocean? How long
also,
does that take?
Why are there so many different entities going on at the same time to get me?
I always thought it was just one thing that's following her. It can just make itself look like whatever, right?
Oh, you're probably right.
I think it's just one thing.
Because it makes herself look like her father.
I think he says there's just one, and it's always the same thing following you. It can just make itself look, it can look like something you know, or it could look like somebody you've just seen before, or a stranger, or whatever.
So,
like, as far as the rules go, like I said, okay, the travel the distance thing is one thing. What about also, what about gay sex? Because he's all like, oh, it's easy for a girl or a guy. Could a guy pass it to another guy? Does it come from penetration? Do girls pass it? You know what I mean? What about group sex? Could you pass it to everybody like a super spreader event?
Yes. I think 100%.
Yeah.
And then in that case,
you pass it to everybody at the same time. How does the entity decide who to go after first?
Who had come last?
It's coming order.
Coming order.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's getting a sequel.
It's kind of because the director went to director jail after him because his follow-up movie was kind of a flop, right? Deal with that? He made Under the Silver Lake with Andrew Garfield.
Oh, people really like that movie. But that doesn't mean shit.
Movie weirdos like that movie.
Movie weirdos like that. But yeah,
haven't personally seen it, so I cannot judge it. But I've never seen a normal guy be like, hey, have you seen Under the Silver Lake? You know what I mean? It's only like niche film Twitter people. It might be very good. I'm not saying it's not. But like, it flopped. And like, it seemed like normies didn't like it very much.
Oh, they did not like it. Yeah. Normies. So he did that.
And so he's kind of been in director jail since then. He's going to have to make It Follows sequel, which is a bum. Do we know, did he get Micah Monroe back? Because she's kind of a bigger star now than she was.
She is. It says she is returning.
Good for her. I liked her. I love her in The Guest. And she had that movie come out, Watcher, this year that was good.
This also has the same fucking vibe as The Guest.
Yeah. The Guest had that synth.
A good way. It's a good thing. It's not a negative.
Your Next kind of has that too. That feels like they were already doing
There's an era of horror that relies on that synth and that vibe. Hell, even I know I've mentioned it way too much here. Summer of '84 has that vibe. It has the Stranger Things-ness to it, but it also has this airiness to it as well.
Listen, I will watch Manhunter. Don't make me do it.
No. You already made us watch Manhunter.
I know. We'll do it again.
I'm down. I bought it.
No. Go watch our old Manhunter episode, though. That's good.
It's good stuff. It is good. But, yeah. So, but that's where the holes are. I'd imagine in They Follows, you probably get a few of those answers, right? It's 2024.
That's the problem. I don't want those answers.
I don't either. Yeah, like
they're
like,
just gonna make it dumb and make it and make it make less sense than it does. It's like, did you ever see the what's the one Happy Death Day? Did you see the Happy Death Day sequel?
Oh, Happy Death Day to You, where yeah. it's then like a time travel movie,
right? When they like totally like over explain every aspect of it and like totally ruin everything that's fun about the first
movie. Well, that was one. I didn't say rude. That was one though, where Lisa was like.
It's not a terrible movie, but it's like, they did not need to do this.
They pivoted. They were like, Deadpool's popular.
Yeah.
I wish they just didn't explain. I wish they kept it as it is. You just don't need to explain it all. You're like, this is what's going on now. But yeah, so, you know, Jay gets dumped. Jay literally gets dumped on the front lawn with her friend sitting there, and even she's like the trashy, like the white trash family on the street. So,
and we definitely get some of that like shitty cop victim blamey. Like,
oh well, the one thing she says no, I can send it, and then the cop just kind of then you see her dismissed because what notes before it that hits is oh thank God they at least fucking called the cops though instead of just being like.
But because of this, they don't call the cops later.
Yeah, they don't. They get his out. So her friends are like, these are some of those ride or die friends. Fuck the Goonies. The It Follows kids are like, yeah, we'll hang around. But, you know, she does this. She kind of loosely explains it. It happens. I mean,
well, she's in the hospital and she does tell them what he told her, but they kind of, everybody's just kind of like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a weird thing to, why would you believe it?
What's the scariest it scene for you? Like,
oh, I think hands down, it's when the tall man comes through the door. That's an iconic shot when it comes up behind. But I did think that the way it appears right before that, that's a very like sexual assault victim-y, uncomfortable look to the girl with like, she likes peeing on the floor, just standing there, she's all beat up. That's very upsetting. So like, and then
yellow, dirty piss.
Yeah. And then, but then like, obviously the tall man scare is like iconic. It's probably the most memorable thing in the movie.
That and the intro, limbs broken on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we get the tall man pretty early, right? She gets home, has some things.
They kind of are like having a sleepover. She doesn't believe it, but then she has like a weird experience at school.
She sees a woman walking across the DMZ or whatever they call it these days, and you know, like looks like someone right out of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, like
right.
All white, and she just starts running, and that's literally the minute she starts running, she doesn't kind of she fucking does stop the movie. And there's a few things in this that drive me crazy, and I'm glad we're getting to it. That night, you know, her one friend's like a dweeb. He was on United States of Tara. He's always playing Paul. A dweeb. Paul. Yeah. First name, fucking Paul. That's Paul look.
Yeah.
Sorry,
the Wonder Years marked Paul's forever. They all look like that.
And
now.
I know one really cool Paul. Doesn't look anything like that, but like outlier. This Paul, he's like, I'll sleep, you know, and they're like teasing, like, all right, you've been in forever. Because all these people have been best friends for all. But she's like, no, I'd like that. You're going to stay on the couch. And she gets up. Like
she's kind of freaked out. So they're all going to have a sleepover.
Her sister's home. It's alluded to, you know, the mom's never around. She's a bit of an alcoholic. It's very alluded to.
They don't really get into much with the parents. We can wait to talk about the reveal with, what's going on with her dad. But, like, her mom's, kind of just absent.
She's just absent. I did a little reading on that. They said, like, it's alluded a little to the alcoholism, not too much.
Well, I'll tell you who's got a secret drinking problem in this movie.
Who?
It's Paul.
Ah, I didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, there's a couple different times. He's got, like, a can of something, and the girl asks him for a drink because I think it's got booze in it. And later he's got his little flask out. He's got that a couple different times later in the movie. I think it's supposed to – I think the Paul's got a little bit of – he's one of those quiet, like, teen drunks that you don't suspect. I think he's got a little bit of that going on.
That's a depth to a character that doesn't even need that.
Yeah.
So in that scene, why I want to bring piss me, it's sort of just dumb movie things. And the director did say, like, he includes things in this movie that are like their kids. I want it to be dumb. I don't want them to have the answers. When she wakes up, she's scared. They watch that movie on the couch and the noise happens and she's like, oh. You know, oh, he just goes, oh, no, just the wind. Someone broke the window, but he probably ran away. He's pretty scared. And they just sit in the fucking house. And they're like, well, shouldn't do anything. Yeah, they call the cops? Nah, which I get. They just went through that. But
like, at least, like, clean up the glass and put something over the window. Or
the chillness of, window got broken.
Just a window broken in the middle of the night. Nothing to worry about.
Someone, assumably, just to everyone else, raped this girl. Yeah. And also, she believes something's coming
after
her.
For all intents and purposes, all assaulted her in every other way possible.
Yes, that's
besides
what I'm like,
the rape. Like,
yeah, she just got assaulted. That's what we'll say. I keep saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's what everyone believes. It's all that, all baked in. They're just like, nah. She believes it. It's the only time in this whole movie where I went, you dumb. Like, other than
the
ending.
For the most part, you're right. Her friends are really good movie friends. They like.
Yeah.
They stick with her. They hang. They don't like bail. They don't get pissed at her for the most part. Like question her. They just like support her, basically unconditionally.
Yeah. So she. Yeah. They do. They really do. They find her, and they're like, "All right, we'll roll with you. Screw school. Screw our response." I didn't. But that's when round, and that's our tall man shot eventually because they're hanging out at the kitchen table and
right, they hide out in the bedroom and she's all freaked out and she doesn't want them to open the door, and they open the door and in comes like behind the girl.
She books it. And this is what I said, she goes to the fucking creepiest spot. I got a bucket. Let me go to the woods.
Let me go to the beach. Isn't it like a playground
which I think's near the beach
now,
or woods
to be fair. You know, she's going to a place she knows. This is her neighborhood. She's running to a place she remembers from childhood. That's probably a happy memory place for her.
Well, the swing set in film is very...
A abandoned park in the middle of the night is a very creepy vibe, for sure.
It's that, and even the time she goes to the beach later on, or to sleep, I think she sleeps on the hood of her car at a certain point when she runs away. If you run down the street and there's a wooded area with a path or lights of just, I'm going to keep running down the lights, not to the right of the wooded path, especially if Chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is chasing me.
Yeah, no shit. The guy, the Twin Peaks guy is after you or whatever.
But, you know, like I said, I read, and the director very much was like, I did a lot of things to be, like, purposely of, like, kids aren't smart. They're not going to have the... So...
I wish more people... Honestly, that criticism of movies really pisses me off a lot. And it's probably because I'm such a Prometheus defender, and that was always some people... But, like,
the idea that
every character has to make perfect decisions every time and no one ever acts against their own best interests. Like, do you not live in the world? Have you not seen a human being or talked to a person? Like,
one out of two of those Prometheus criticisms are completely answered, and people are just don't listen. When the scientists take their helmet off, they go, the oxygen... Our computers tell us the oxygen levels are good. We can do this.
Yeah, we can breathe.
And then her running and not just going left when that's rolling.
Yeah.
It's a movie. We need to see Eggers die.
Also, the spaceship is huge.
It's
like,
huge.
Like, I think
the
they just don't do a good. I think maybe Ridley didn't do a good enough job of giving you the idea that you couldn't run to the side fast if you're still going to get squashed. It's a whole spaceship. It's gigantic.
Yes. It's a big perspective. Anyway, we love that movie. It's the best.
But again, yes. I like that in movies. I don't mind, like, when characters make...
No.
There's a difference. When a character makes a decision that's against their character, that's the problem.
And like, I think this girl's when character...
When it doesn't feel like a natural progression, that's where I get hung up, yeah, you know? I don't think this movie has that issue.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It was, for me, the only... It's the one thing with the broken glass and everyone being so fucking cool about it.
No, it would be cool. Also, if you've ever had your house broken into or something like that, it's terrible. It freaks you out. Like, you would be, like, on an adrenaline high the rest of you. You wouldn't sleep the rest of the night. If that shit happened. Like,
in our old apartment, thank God I never got broken into, but I had that one scare once where I was away. I was literally away. Stayed over. And the next morning, Laura's like, yeah, our screen on our thing's all bent up. Do you think an animal or something? I'm at this I gotta get home.
Like, immediately, like,
I was like, you were alone. Like, what? And she's like, didn't think I was like, then I freak out. I'm like, call the cops, do the, you know, we go through all the things.
Yeah.
She go, you know, she sleeps, parents go, I can't get home till Sunday. This is like, happens like Saturday morning.
Right.
My vibe of this party ruins completely. I don't want a sip of alcohol. I'm just like, you know,
yeah.
I'm not, everyone agree. But Sunday,
I'm not having a good time.
No. Saturday, I make it through. Sunday, I get back. First thing I do, go to Home Depot, buy those fucking cameras, buy PVC, you know, PVC, put it through so you can't open a door. Like,
yeah.
And we moved out of the place in like a month, but it was very like, it changes that atmosphere of,
yeah,
I don't want to be,
yeah, something like
here.
That. Like, you're 100% right. There'd be a bigger reaction, especially when you're already on edge. Like, she's already anticipating something. So, like, mm-hmm. Of course you would react if a fucking window got broken. But
she's,
I do,
just
think
a chill girl. That's,
yeah, but
really,
I do think it's okay, because I do think the scares are very effective in that scene. I think this whole movie, honestly, is a masterclass in tension. I think they do a really good job.
That's why I was pretty... I mentioned it, I think, when we were deciding this. This got ranked in Shudder's 101 Scariest Movie Moments. They, like, redid that Bravo thing,
yeah,
last,
I remember,
year.
Yeah.
This is the first thing they highlight. It's, like, 101. And I was like, you got to put it lower, at least in the 90s or even like late 80s. Like, 101, it's like...
Those kind of lists are tailor designed to make me mad.
Yeah, they're
immediately,
like,
you get to something that's low and you're like, that needs to be higher.
And that's the first movie they highlight. And I was like, there's too much of a bite in this movie. Yeah. You know, this movie actually does enough and has enough scare. Where I'm like, that's not 101. 101, yeah, is like, that's your honorable mention at that.
No,
point.
This movie is really good. It's got a lot. It's really tense. It really is nerve wracking. It does a lot with very minimal gore, and all the it uses jump scares, but it uses them very effectively. It doesn't overuse them or like It doesn't use cheap sound effect jump scares. It's real legitimate, like, surprises. When I remember, but looking back on it, there's a stretch, and we're getting to it. We're basically at it in the plot, and it's basically that they decide they need to find the guy that she slept with,
yeah,
who ends up being
there.
Jeff. His name's Jeff. He gave her fake name.
And they go to
the
school.
A little research. They like go to the place he had rented, where he clearly was squatting in like the ghetto. They figure out what high school he went to. They go and do a little research there, and then they go and talk to him. And he gives them the scoop about kind of... He doesn't really tell them much more, honestly. He's just like...
They have, like, this really nice, like, it's once again, this kind of...
Well,
silly,
this
is the wrong
why
word.
I said something about Jeff ending up being... Because in reality, he's like... He is sorry about the way he had... He's like... You do get the impression that he's like, he just didn't know what else to do. He wanted to impress upon her how important... How, like, serious the situation was. And, like, he fucked up and he did a really weird... gross assault to her.
Yeah.
But like, he does feel like he was desperate. Like, he didn't feel like he had a choice, or he couldn't come up with any other thing to do, which is not an excuse. Obviously, I'm not trying,
no,
you know.
Because at the end of the day, everyone, spoiler, should, Jeff should just did what Paul fucking did and go to a it's not fair or anything. Go to a sex worker who's going to spread that thing like wildfire.
I think you're wrong, and I think we're going to get to the ending here, and we'll talk about the final shots. Yeah,
hold on.
We'll get there. Yeah. But they do talk to Jeff, and like I said, he doesn't give him much more new information, I don't think. He basically is just like, the only thing you can do is stay ahead of it, and if you get far enough away, that'll buy you more time. So they, decide they're going to travel more. I do like the little bit, and they do it
that's my favorite. It's
and they my go favorite part. Jeff, they're like, "Can you see her?" And
that's
like,
my favorite part. She looks like from afar. It's just this girl like walking home from soccer practice or whatever. Yeah. And it looks like the cadence. It's a really, really good bit.
It is a funny gag, and they do it like one other time with her earlier than that. But it's funny. It's the best when they do it with Jeff. But then they take a little vacation and they go to the beach. And like I said, this is the patch, and we're leading up to the beach has like a big set piece at the end of it. So this is the stretch that felt slow to me, and I wanted to say that I think this time it's just because it's the only time the movie really lets up on the tension at all. I think that's why, to me at the time, it felt slow, but now I'm just like, no, it's just a little bit of a break before we get back into it. It's fine. Yeah. It's built into the plot of the movie. I think in my mind before, I was like, this needs another scare in it because this movie has just been like on me. Like, you know what I mean?
The pace of it, I still have no problem with the pace of it. So
no, like I said, I feel like there wasn't a problem. The problem was with me, not the movie, you know?
Yeah. No, for me, like I said, the third time watching this now since its release, I guess just the scare's gone, and that's not the movie's fault. Because I remember the first time this being not like a full blown, like how I say Hereditary when I first saw it really scared me. And that's hard to do for us these days, something that really gets under your skin.
Oh, sure.
I remember like this getting under my skin. I mean, not that crazily under my skin, but enough. But yeah, so. The beach, yeah, there's there's no tension on the beach. There's a safeness to it. How far they drove, though, because guess who shows up?
It got there overnight?
Remember, it's crafty.
They're only there one night, right? That's like the next day. It moved. They should have gone farther. But I guess you got limited options. They had to go where they could go. They don't have unlimited places or options, you know. So they went the farthest thing they could think of, which was Kids Beach House or whatever. I do love the way they play out that scene, though. The way you see her walking up in the background. And this is the first time that the thing has, like, chosen to try to look like somebody in the group. We haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
We know, technically, we know it can. It's, you know, Jeff told us, but
we haven't seen it
do that.
It tries, yeah, it looks like friend.
Oh, her name is Yara, friend. And in my mind, as we're getting gearing up for this scene, I thought she was gonna get killed or something was gonna happen to her.
Oh, the movie's body count is 2.
Yeah, but also, I even started to wrote, I was like, the extra friend Yara only existed to die, but then I crossed it out and wrote get shot, because later she accidentally gets shot. She is totally, you kind of jettison her. I don't know why she's in this movie. You could kind of jettison that character. They don't really do anything with her. She's just there. Honestly, I feel like they're like, well, groups of friends have 4. We can't just have 3. That's weird. Groups of friends have 4.
Especially 2 dudes.
Yeah. Well, then we get the creepy neighbor guy comes in. He's like a 5th guy. But like their core group is 4 people. It's, you know, her and her sister and the 2 friends. So like, I feel like that's somebody was just like, well, of course we have to have 4 people. You know?
Yeah. Creepy neighbor guy.
We didn't talk enough about creepy neighbor because
he
kind of
deserves it.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's clearly, we'll talk about.
I know what's say on the beach.
He believes in any of this at all.
No, he's the most dismissive of it, and he tries, he preys on her.
Well, yeah, he's preying on the whole group. He's clearly doing a thing where he's like, because he's like looking over the Yara girl too, and he's like, I'm just going to hang around this group of like vulnerable girls. One of them is going to, when one of them gives me the opportunity, I'm going to take it. You know?
Yeah. He's a piece of shit. But the beach, the catalyst, why stay here? So this is when whoever's brilliant idea was, we should shoot them, hysterical.
Yeah, I love that the shooting is so good. So yeah, the thing attacks her on the beach and it gets a hold of her. I like the scene where the hair goes up. That's fun.
That's what everyone sees, and then Paul gets thrown aside. So people see that there is now a supernatural.
There's something to interact with. They know that it's there, and even though they can't see it.
It also shows us as the audience, and this is where, like, once we start picking hold, you know, whatever is, oh, it need, and we see actually what happens later, but it actually needs to get you and grab you and do, like, it can't just get close. Getting close to you isn't good enough.
It has to, like, grapple you and, like, get a hold of you.
Yeah. So, and then you get that other scare of, like, they kind of run through that shed thing and the little boy's head and what I say it looks like. But yeah, that's like the big scare.
It's a little creepy ginger kid, and then it's funny. I didn't never notice before.
Oh, he looked like Big Pete from Pete and Pete.
Yeah, he does. Well, later you see that kid again. He's on the bike when they're leaving at the end. So he's a kid from the neighborhood, and that's like it was mimicking somebody she had seen. She recognized. We just didn't know it. Like, it's like, but later, like later, I saw that. I noticed it's like right near the end when they're leaving the house to go do something. I think it might be when they're leaving to go do their pool plan. You see that kid on the bike, like the actual kid. I was like, oh shit, there he is. But yeah, they get away. I can't remember how they end up getting away on the beach, but I do love that they're constantly shooting at each other. It's so funny. Trying to shoot an invisible thing, and your friends are on the other side, and you're just like,
no, not me. I'm around shots here. At them. And they, like, kind of clip the thing.
Yeah.
Which is still...
Which you find out, basically, it can be slowed down, but it can't be stopped with a bullet. Like,
no, it can't it that die. Way. It's an entity.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, well, she, I'm just making sure, is this, yeah, no, she flees, like, it's the beach area, and, that's when she crashes the car, and, like,
oh, then that's right,
they wake up, and then Yara wakes up at the hospital, again, because she got clipped by the bullet.
No, that's later. Yara doesn't get clipped to the pool.
Well, I'm sorry. She wakes up in the hospital again.
This is where she gets the cast on her hand, right? Cast. From the accident, yeah. So she's in the hospital again.
Sometimes we get recording late and the tire is set into your brain.
It's okay.
But yeah, she's in the hospital, and then it's kind of where they, like, kind of slows down a little bit, but not really. This is when that piece of shit neighbor Jake comes through. Yeah. And he's like, you could bang me.
Yeah, they're like, they're going to give it a shot. They're going to do Jeff's plan of just pass it along. And then, now this is an interesting situation here. We know, he immediately passes it on. Like, the next scene, they show him talking to a different girl. And I believe that's to imply that he is also going to pass it on to a girl. And then when everybody's questioning him, he's saying he's not seeing anything. He's not seeing anybody follow him. Now, there's two things. He could just not be seeing anything, or he could just not be noticing because he doesn't take it seriously, because he never believed in it in the first place.
I think he might have not seen anything up until a certain point. Because
he's saying he doesn't see anything, but it could be following that other person and finishing them off first, so maybe it hasn't moved on to him yet. So that could be why he's not seeing anything. Well,
that's probably what happens. That's why it's like, You need to almost be in such a far lineation away from that thing. And it sounds like you never stop seeing it too, right? Like, part of its lore. Like you're never going to stop seeing it. It's just not going to be able to kill you.
But he never tells them that he passed it to someone else. I don't get the impression.
No, this is all an assumption. There's two assumptions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake does that, they bang, and then she's like, all right, all good, and they're neighbors, and she sees someone crawling, breaking her house, like a fucking burglar.
It's like him, it looks like him, right? It looks like
it's vague, but it's all the white still.
He's in like a white, like, look, but I thought it looked very much like the kid who lived there, which would be smart. The entity would want to, like, not draw attention to itself in that way, breaking into your own house. They say it's slow, but not stupid.
Yeah. But
either way, she can't get there, and she's doing a Nancy. She's yelling from across
there's
the street.
This movie, like a lot of movies, and it's noted, it's all inspired by other horrors. Like, that is 100%. Even their names apparently are all pulled from.
Well,
you know,
I'm sure you're going to talk about when we took it to the pool scene, but we the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. I'm sure if you lined up when that episode aired to the age of the director, there's like no way this person didn't see that shit.
I'm not wrong here, right?
I was waiting. There's at least an element of it. I would say
it's not perfect, but it was like so. So she gets in, right? She runs across the street, and she's like, "No, it's." He's like disguised as a mother with a nice titty hanging out.
I did not remember this part. I don't know if I like looked at, wasn't paying attention, but I did not remember that the entity killed from with fucking.
Well, I didn't remember that, but it's true. They die while the limbs are broken because they have to essentially mount them and fuck them to break their bones.
Yeah, I was going to say, that really gives you an implication of, like, I don't like the implication of what the entity did to the girl with the leg all bent the wrong way. Yeah. That's,
but he had the same kind of, the way, you don't see, but he kind of had the same posture.
Yeah. And does that make the It Follows creature the second most famous horror rape monster after the alien from Alien?
There has to be another one in there.
I mean, I'm sure there is, but it's more famous.
The Centibites?
I don't know. They're not rape, they're torture. They're S&M-y, but they don't really do sex stuff. They're like more torture-y.
Yeah, it's probably they're the follow.
Pain, pleasure through pain.
It's probably the follow monster then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now she's just like, fucked. All right, whatever.
Is where now we get, like, Paul has had this, like, pathetic incel energy. He's got that real kind of, like, I'm a nice guy, you should want to fuck me because I'm so nice, kind of, like, there's so many things I like about this movie on the rewatch, and I think it's because I've seen so many Blumhouse movies that, like, they don't, like... They would have not been able to. A Blumhouse movie would not be able to resist giving Paul lines that actually like spell that out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they'd have had to have him say it. They couldn't just leave it the way it is. You know what I mean? Like
and I really
appreciate that about this movie. There's stuff left on the table for you to chew on. You know,
they do a good job also at Paul and Jay's friendship, where she's just like. You know, you were my first kid. Like, it lets you know he's like, yeah, he's thought about that.
Well,
every
to her,
day.
It was puppy love, but he's clearly like hanging on, like you know, even carrying that torch real high.
Even when they're there's a shot early when they're driving around, right, and it's all the friends and it's the one who goes with them. I don't think maybe it is Jake. You know, and he's driving and she's sitting up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the beach, it's I think the guy's name is, it says Greg on here.
You're talking about the neighbor of Greg. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg, who comes with him. You know, he's a little bit of like a not a bigger build.
Paul's definitely
like,
got jealous. He's jealous.
But
of
like
enemy,
he's
obviously.
Like a little traditionally masculine. More puts his arm like not driving, but like very much like I have a confidence up here in this, and like Paul's in the back seat, just like
Weasley and nerdy and. Yeah, and there's definitely that thing of like, why doesn't she appreciate me more? You know, and it's like, but I like the
does a really good job.
But he does fully like go full patheticville and is like begging.
He's like,
I will gladly die to fuck you, please. Oh
yeah,
man,
he's like, please. In what looks like the least arousing sex anyone's ever had. Let me do it.
Oh, that I was gonna say eventually, but first they're gonna try the pool plan. They like,
so
she's like, no,
so
I would rather
you,
do a crazy plan than try
can
to.
Can
you
break?
You,
and this is where I think people, from what I can read, that are like not a fans of the movie. This is where they're like, it lost me here. This is where the director, I think, has the most logic. He was like, no, I put this in there. I know it's a bad plan, but kids are stupid.
Yeah, it's a plan that a kid comes up with.
Yeah, he's like. I think he said something along the lines of, yeah, I didn't want to include something where, like, all of a sudden someone says, this is how you get to defeat the evil demon. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're like, that just wouldn't, it's probably not going to happen. So this plan, Brian, can you lay out this plan? And then I kind of want to, so lay their plan out.
So will they carry, what, I don't know. I don't think those people had enough bags for all the stuff they end up bringing out. But so they have a lot of electronics and extension cords and power cords. And they get it set up basically all around the pool. They have all these electronics, and what they're going to do is they're going to use her to lure the thing into the pool. They think if it's in water, first of all, they'll be able to see it moving in the water, even though it's invisible, and then they'll be able to throw these electronics into the water and zap it and kill it. That's their plan, or stun it at least. Something's going to happen. They're going to do something.
That is the catalyst of their plan. I had Brian. It's in our intro. It's this. There's an episode of Afraid of the Dark called Dead Man's Float. It's top three episode of the show. It still has what would you consider scary imagery today in it, especially for children. It's a really well made episode.
The creature is creepy.
Yeah,
it's like, a good. It looks like something from Crimson Peak.
Yeah, it's a good story, I think, for the show, and I like that episode a lot. The ending, it's all around a pool, and there's, like, the pool monster is going to get you. It's probably like that movie Night Swim, that Blumhouse Night Swim that came out more. But the ending is the no one can see this monster because they just smell it, and they have to use sulfuric acid, I believe it is.
Yeah, they're doing some a little bit of science. Like science, a bad episode. They're using some science on it.
To you know, then they can see it, and that's when you see it. The way they tackle around the pool and like have someone in the pool to be bait reminded me so much of that episode to this movie. Like you said, like there's no way the director didn't see that go. Yeah. That was kind of a cool.
Like I'm not even saying that he consciously, but like
no, not
that
little
seedless lodge in his child brain. And then like 10 years, 15 years went by and he's like starting to think about scenes to do. And then like, you know, it comes back.
You know, this isn't M. Night Shyamalan with The Sixth Sense, who literally was like, yeah, I watched this episode of Afraid of the Dark where the twist was the ghost was dead. You know, she was a ghost the whole time. I thought, how brilliant.
I'm doing that. I'm going to do know, that.
And that's apparently to question, too. But, no, this just, I was like, Brian, it'd be fun. It's like 20 minutes of your day to knock this out.
Oh, yeah, and it was well worth it. It was great.
But, yeah, it I can't help but any pool thing be like, nope. How old are you?
How old are you? You took
are you between the ages of like
I'm calling you out?
Are you between the ages of like probably like 30 to 37?
Either way, I do think this scene is done really well. I like the plan. I think the plan is a perfect kid plan, like a perfect plan that dumb teens might try when you're desperate. Like I said, same thing with Jeff. They're in desperation mode. They're just like and trying to figure out what to do. Like,
well, my favorite part of their plan is it don't work, and you just see a TV like. One of those pieces of electronics TV just flying into the pool.
Now, we don't know that if they had left them plugged in and pushed them into the pool with the current, but the thing like rips it out of the wall and throws it so it's not plugged in anymore. But I love that she is just getting nailed with appliances left and right.
The thing's like, you want like a fucking TV. Toaster?
When he whips the iron at her, I was like, oh, you're about to get fucked up.
Yeah. The thing just wants one thing, and that's to kill... It's host that
and
set
also, and like I said, it'll keep coming back. I keep like I made note of it every time that it does something smart, like whether it's breaking in or like you know the trap. And like I said, this one it knew it like saw the trap. It knew that this was that something wasn't right here. That it was being lured or whatever. It didn't stop. It kept coming in its own way, but it didn't like fall into the. I like that. Little note here. She says she can see it. They're all there. She's like, it's right there. They're trying to get her to tell them what they see, but she doesn't want to. She's like, I don't want to tell you what I see, what it is. We don't know why she says that at the time, but it comes back around here near the end. It's an interesting little moment that I think, again, handled very well.
Yeah. They, then she's just like at the bottom of the pool. They think, you know, he's in there. And there's some, once again, rogue gunshots just fired in and actually clips. it clips.
Yeah, they're shooting across the pool. They clip the friend. They clip Yara. And yeah. Then he's still, even after shooting one of his friends, is picking pot shots into the water, which is wild.
That's what I mean.
Your perspective is distorted.
The YMCA pool.
Paul gets real lucky on that.
Paul should have a couple arteries just leaking, but it's a real fun scene. You know, they get saved out of the bottom of the pool. And this is when we're more, you know, the movie's ready. They're basically ready. Fuck it. We've exhausted all options.
Well, it's desperation time again. And like I said, more desperate than sleeping with Paul.
and Paul, who was like,
you had your pool plan. Now you have your Paul plan.
I'm sorry. Jay, who was like, Paul, we're good. She's like, all right. And when I say it is the most, like, all might be thrilled, she's not. Neither of them are. But he goes, does that, and then we cut over to him passing a couple prostitutes. He
promptly goes to pass it along to a lady of the evening.
Yeah. And,
those ladies, I mean, my favorite movie prostitutes are the girls from Fargo, and these girls made those girls look like beauty queens. Let's just say they did not pull any punches with the style of prostitute they went with. I always wonder how you cast a part like that. What do you put out to the casting agent? What do you say?
These are, I think from what I know and they do, they take like pretty kind of people and then they be like, we'll make you ugly, but they're still ugly.
They're Hollywood sixes and they dumb them down, you know. Yeah. So they look like a hideous beast by comparison to a Hollywood golden child.
But
were saying that you think this is a pretty good idea, right?
I don't know if it's the good idea. That is the clearest, like, option. It's not a nice option by any means, but that is, to me, the easiest option of, like, how does this spread out there in the universe other than going to a sex club?
How to explain what they're going to do in the sequel. How did it get out into the world?
Yeah, other than, like, it's like, right, like we haven't talked about, we actually, I'm surprised, I wanted to, like, other curse movies yet. It's like, you know, I think
we talked about a little bit how Killing a Sacred Deer was like a kind of a secret curse movie.
So like Killing a Sacred Deer or like I'd say more of like viral curse movies, like virus. So like The Ring, right?
Mm.
That very much is another, like, at least the tape, you watch it on your consent and this. And then when they made their the shitty like reboot they tried to do, like it was like online and everyone could see it and who knows.
Yeah.
Like, for this, it follow things specifically. How do I get someone to then have the most sex to spread around? Because I don't think also, and this is also a thing they don't explain, which is good, is let's say it's passed. Let's say she's 5-10 people removed. Gets a boyfriend or girlfriend, has sex with them. Does she then respread it to them, or has that domino?
Once it's off her, is she not a carrier anymore? Or if she slept with someone else, would they still get it?
Like, yeah, because if she's still seeing him, just can't be like attacked by them. Yeah, so like that's a question. But
interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good point. I don't know if she's still like that. Would be interesting to go back and you'd be like, she's got a husband and kids, and then you find out the thing comes and it kills her husband, mm-hmm. and you find out that she gave it to him.
And he's been seeing it this whole time.
And it had to work its way back to him. But maybe it took years to it got spread around to a bunch of different people, and it took years to work its way back, and now it's finally back to her. That's all very interesting stuff. I guess I was only thinking of the prostitute thing as a means to get it off. Like, if I was Paul, I'm in Paul's position, to get the thing off my back, going to a prostitute, it seems like a very temporary solution. Because, like, the It Follows creature is going to start walking towards the prostitute at some point.
I'm like, hey.
And the prostitute's going to be like, hey, what's up? Would you like to bang?
But
and
like, then, what if it's a really...
Right back on Paul, which is what we see in the final shot. Like, it's following them again. They're walking. They're walking down the street holding hands. First of all, everything about her looks miserable. This forced guilt relationship that she's now in with Paul because he did this thing for her and now she's stuck with him. So you got that element. But also, they're walking, they're holding hands, nice two shot, nothing behind them. Cuts around from behind shot. When it cuts back to front them from the front, there's a character right between them walking and following them again. And I feel like that's very clearly meant to give you the impression that the thing is already back on them.
You're probably right. That's how horror movies.
Neil deGrasse Tyson meme.
You're probably right. You're definitely the trading meme. No, you're absolutely right. I like how it ends though, because like I said, like it does.
Oh, I think it's a perfect ending. That's why they should never do a sequel.
It does do that thing that it gives you a you know that shot. That's what's coming, right? It's. But also, like I said, having Paul go do that is what going through your list, at least well, when you thing. First
like,
introduced
that's what the audience is thinking. They're like, yes. You should just go bang a prostitute and then it'd be over. And it's like, but then once you flesh that out a little further, again, it kind of falls apart a little bit, you know?
I think we figured it out in the beginning of this conversation. You go to like a big orgy. And you're just like, I'm going to get in as many. And you fuck a person. And then you go, you know what? We should go do that person together. And then just like.
Just keep and spread and every as many holes. And then make sure the people you fuck each other.
That's what I'm saying.
And just like really mix it up. Really mix it up.
And then if it's still going to. You know what? Then I'm just accepting death.
Right. Honestly, at least I had to get that great orgy. That was fun.
Yeah. You go. Yes. I bet you they have a nice like shrimp cocktail out. You know, maybe some hot wings.
Eat some sushi off a naked lady or whatever.
Yeah. What do they do? I was thinking of the It's Always Sunny when they do the Eyes Wide Shut thing. Frank's like, we're going to go cool. And they're just like,
that's the real type of people you find in an orgy. It's like me in a bathroom with a gold mask on. Like, what's up?
Not bad.
No beautiful people there. Beautiful people don't need to, like, get gross. They can have, they can get whatever they want.
You are beautiful, Brian.
It's true. Oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah, I'd like to see you there.
I still got it.
You'd like to see you at the meetings.
If you send me my gilded invitation, I'll be there. Show up in my gold mask.
Hey, I just watched that movie.
I have not seen Eyes Wide Shut like since it was in the theaters.
I would say over. Well, I think we talked about it. I said I watched it like. On HBO way too young and had bits and pieces and didn't really and I
you
watched
just want to see some boobies and you knew the movie had some boobies in it.
I will say this has nothing to do with this conversation. No, running for one of the best looking people ever on screen is Nicole Kidman in that movie.
Incredible.
Truly like you're like wow, she's doing something.
She had it. She has it still, but she had it then too.
But I was watching that. About the time we watched Killing a Sacred Deer, I was on a big Nicole Kidman kick and Tom Cruise kick, like separately. But it's really good. It holds up, and there's a lot to it. But this has me. I just want to end our conversation, kind of circling back on these curse movies because, you know, this past year. Talk to Me comes out, right? And I think it's the closest thing of
not on the streaming service where I can watch it, but it's out.
but we both saw it.
No, yeah, I saw it in the theater. It was great.
Yeah, I own it.
I have not bought it yet, but I will.
And you know, this is like this like this. It's so close to It Follows in its template.
It does it avoids a lot of the same pitfalls as far as like not over explaining things.
Yeah, and
keeping it in like a likable group of core characters that you could follow.
Much more likable too. Yeah. I think it think it does it better. In my opinion. And that might be recency bias because...
Right, like I would need another watch to talk to you. I need another watch. Because my second watch of It Follows, I think I raised it up a little bit in my opinion. So I would definitely need another watch to talk to
you. I gave It Follows...
Also, It Follows walked so Talk to Me could run. Like, yeah. They kind of, you can't even like, you know, they're both treading the same ground. And they're both, it's like... I hate to, you know, kill my darlings. I hate to pit my babies against each other because they could both be great, you know?
No, there's no competition. I mean, that's where, so the good thing, you look back, you gotta go right to The Ring. That's the big modern start.
And I think It Follows holds up better than The Ring, so.
Oh, The Ring has its moments, but The Ring straight up is the problem. I'm gonna get my soapbox of, a problem with a lot of two great movies from the early 2000s, mid 90s, that were these like thriller horror, is they were all then taken templates and styles and used in things like NCIS and Law and Order and all of these things. And it just became a more norm of storytelling. So then when they go back to watch something like The Ring, I'm like, this is literally just an episode of NCIS with some supernatural shit going on.
Yeah.
It's still a really good movie with really effective scares, but I think...
Also, it's about 20 minutes longer than the J-horror predecessor, and it doesn't need to be.
No.
It feels long.
just real quick on that, like, and I think those movies in that era was so defining of then the next thing came out that... To the no fault of their own, there's some of that lingering when you go back to revisit them.
Can I say something controversial on this podcast?
No.
I prefer The Grudge to The Ring.
Ooh, buddy.
Come at me, internet.
Ooh, well, what's no up? One's listening, but...
what's up?
Come at him.
Come at me, guy complaining in the comment section that this isn't just a rip of the movie.
On YouTube, you're like, oh, on yeah.
YouTube for free.
Actually, if we talk a little longer, we might get the exact length of It Follows.
I do love when people are like, dang it. And they take the time to leave a comment.
I thought so this funny. Was...
I'm a dumbass and I'm a fucking idiot.
That was really funny. It was like, ooh, two notifications. But yeah, bring up. What do you want to bring up in the movie?
I don't have anything else in my notes except the dad reveal that we kind of danced around. Mm. It's just a really great, really quick shot. We talked about at the pool. She doesn't want to tell anybody who she's seeing. It's a guy, an older guy, just throwing, you know, the guy who's throwing the electronics at her. We don't know anything about him. Later, we see just in passing, they kind of stop and show us a picture of the family. And you see the two girls and the mom. And the guy in the picture is the dad. Mm-hmm. And it's just the same guy from the pool. And it's just the little things like, we don't know if he's dead or just gone or whatever. But the point is that it was clearly traumatic for her to have to see him, you know, and that it would have been, she was trying to protect her sister from even talking about it, because that would have been fucked up for her sister too. And I thought that was it again was that thing where I was like, Blumhouse could never. They would never have the deft touch to not be able to, like, that would have to be dialogue. Somebody would have to talk about, I see it was dead. They like have a scene where like she breaks down and tells her sister about
and
it.
And then these fucking horror community idiots would be like, ah, it was amazing. Where are the Oscar? She cried.
She cried on screen. She didn't do the best acting, but she definitely did the most acting.
They're all like, Brian and I could literally make the worst like thing ever of just like, you know, black on her, like white face, black eyes with like blood on her face. Like, blah, you know, we're Draculas. And people are like, bravo.
They love it.
I love that.
They are not the horror fans are not a discerning crowd. They love their slop. Piggies love their slop.
And good for them. I'm
honestly
being,
they're living, they're probably happier than me.
They are.
I see people dead inside.
I see people so excited on my timeline, friends today for like Winnie the Pooh, Hunt and Bloody 2. And I'm like, don't we have,
I hate it so much.
But you're not excited the way like I watched Madam Web and laughed my ass off and drank seven beers. Yeah. And like, you know, and it was like, it's, you're excited to be like, bad, but pretty good kills.
Yeah, you're legitimately like, actually, it started as a joke, but now it's legitimately good. Like, no, it's not. Shut up. Fuck you.
But, yeah, that's, but good for them. I wish I could live that naively.
You know what? That's why we will never be the most popular horror podcast, but we will always be the most honest horror podcast. That's the viable guarantee.
That's what you sign up for, is honesty. Honestly, we never lost that. No, I like this movie a lot. Like I said, I found more criticism.
I actually like it a lot more, and who knows, if I see a good deal on a Blu-ray someday or a special edition, I may even pick it up.
I got mine at a secondhand store, I remember. Yeah, I gave it like 3.5 out of 5, like solid. Would watch, you know, another watch. Maybe makes its way into the, you know, Halloween horror rotation this year.
It goes up there with Hereditary, where movies that I think I'm just susceptible. I get extra critical when a movie's getting a lot of hype, and sometimes that's to my detriment. I find that if I go back with a little bit more of an open mind and like don't worry so much about how good everybody said it was and just take it in, I did the same thing with Hereditary. I like watched it the second time and I was like, first time I was like, meh, whatever, I'm fine, this is okay or whatever. Second time around I was like, god damn, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, what was my problem? Like this is incredible. So
I'm kind of the happens. Same way it
so happens. That being said, sometimes give a movie a second chance.
You should. Well, until next time, we will.
It's as good as we can go out.
You could follow us. We'll follow us out. And stay frightful, everyone.
Welcome to Flyover State of Fear.